All right.
So we discussed the past few weeks the idea of Deya. We discussed the idea of Deya being knowledge of the Torah, specifically of Torah Shebaal Peh. We discussed the idea of Bina, that Bina means Lahavin Davar Mitoch Davar, the ability to understand and to extrapolate and to actually really internalize the information and make it a part of you. And so tonight we're going to talk about what Haskel is, and then we're going to put it together, what exactly the progression and the bakasha that we're making of Deya, Bina of Haskel, what exactly we're asking. So the term Haskel, the term Seichel and Haskel, we find often associated with action. A few weeks ago in Parshas Kisavo, the last pasuk of Parshas Kisavo is Lama'an Taskilu Eskol Asher Ta'asun, in order to be maskil, not going to translate it yet, in order to be maskil everything that you do. We have in the Haftorah of Parshas Vayechi, David HaMelech is telling Shlomo HaMelech his whole tzava, his last will, and he sums it up and he says that he tells Shlomo that he should keep the whole Torah, Lama'an Taskil Eskol Asher Ta'aseh, in order that it should be maskil, everything that you do. Haskel is something that seemingly affects your actions, affects what you do. Pasuk in Mishle says, Lev Chacham Yaskil Pihu, that the heart of a wise man will be maskil his mouth. And Rashi there explains, Libo Malamid Espiv Ledaver Tzachos, that his heart teaches or instructs or guides his mouth to speak clearly. So to be the idea of Haskel seems to somehow guide or affect the way in which something acts, or the way actions are performed. So exactly what this is, try and understand this on two levels. So level number one, the Eitz Yosef, one of the commentaries on Tefillah, says that the idea of Haskel is to be masik shmeisa aliba dehilchasa, to conclude, to come out of your learning with an understanding which is in accordance with the halacha. That the idea of Haskel is to come to a conclusion which is the correct halachic conclusion. And on the pasuk of the pasuk says, "Vayhi David lechol derachav maskil," that David was in all of his ways was a maskil. So Chazal comment, not to get into the particulars of exactly how the drasha works, the end of the pasuk Vashem imo, but that that in the context of that pasuk of "Vayhi David lechol derachav maskil," Chazal say shahalacha kamoso b'kol makom, that the halacha is like him in all places in which he had an opinion, the halacha follows him. That David being a maskil meant that the halacha followed him. Is being a maskil is manifest in that the halacha is in accordance with his view. So the idea of haskel in this way is that haskel is knowledge as it applies most directly to action. The halacha lemaisa, the practical halacha, that's haskel. So we had Deya, the knowledge, Bina, the understanding, the extrapolation, and now we have haskel, which is sort of the practical application, understanding the knowledge in the way in which it is practically applied. The Chasam Sofer had many, many tshuvas, and he has a number of tshuvas on very complex issues, which you can see just knowing the topics, you see the question is difficult, but seeing his answers, you can see how intricate. And a number of them start with very interesting words. Kibalti she'elascha emesh. I received your letter last night. And so, you know, this is you know, in turnaround and an immediate response. And he writes these intricate, complex, off the cuff, this, you know, incredibly complex structure of answering the question. So he was asked, how could he respond so quickly? And he responded that he already thought about, when he learned the topic, when he learned the sugya, he thought about all of the applications and all of the scenarios that could come out when he learned it originally. So when the questions came up, so he had already kind of learned the sugya, with towards the halacha lemaisa. That's haskel. That's the idea of having the wisdom in such a way as how it applies lemaisa, how it's applied practically, what the practical application of it is. That's the first level of what haskel is. I talk about a second level, and I mentioned before that when you have multiple levels of something, they're always layers of understanding that are building off of each other. So the deeper level is always a step further of the basic level. The two, they're not disconnected. So a deeper level, what Haskel is, in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov gives the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, Yosef brings Ephraim and Manasseh to receive the bracha from their grandfather Yaakov, from his father, and the Torah describes how Yosef presented Ephraim and Manasseh before Yaakov, as he specifically lined them up in such a way that when he put them in front of Yaakov, that Manasseh was to Yaakov's right and Ephraim was to his left. And Yaakov, it says, crossed his hands in order to put his right hand on Ephraim's head. And Yosef thought that Yaakov, you know, didn't realize what he was doing. He was kaveti naim. He couldn't see well, and he thought he didn't realize what he was doing. And he tried to correct him. And Yaakov said, no, I know he's the bechor, but his younger brother is going to be greater than him. He responded, you know, basically, I know what I'm doing. When the Torah describes what Yaakov did in crossing his hands, the Torah says, "Sikel es yadav ki Menashe habachar." Describes the motion of switching his hands. The Torah says was "Sikel es yadav," the same shoresh sin chaf lamed, the same shoresh as the word seichel haskel. That what Yaakov did was "Sikel es yadav," as yadav, as yado, yado, yadav,
yadav.
Yadav. So the Targum Unglus there translates Sikel as Yadav as Ach Gaminun Liyadohi, that he acted wisely with his hands. And Rashi there comments that what is he? Sikel as Yadav ki Menashe HaBechar, that he was Sikel his hands because Menashe is the Bechar. Rashi explains that Umida'as ki Yodea Haya ki Menashe HaBechar, Va'afal Pichain lo Shas Yamino Alav, that he did it with da'as, he did it with awareness. He knew what he was doing because he knew that Menashe was the Bechor, and even so, he didn't put his right hand on Menashe. So that this acting with knowledge and awareness of what he was doing, that's Sikel as Yadav. The word Haskel means acting with intelligence, but more precisely and more importantly, it means acting with deliberateness and with purpose, that I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm doing consciously and deliberately. It means having an awareness that controls every move that I make. There's a story in the Gemara, a famous story of how Hillel Hazakin came to be part of the yeshiva of the Beis Medrash. It says that there used to be a guard at the door of the Beis Medrash, and you had to pay to get in. And Hillel, every day he would go and work, and he would earn a pruta, and half of it he would use to buy bread, and the other half he would use to get into the Beis Medrash. And it says that one day that's why we have the Gemara's story that Hillel is mechayev es ha'aniyim, that Hillel obligates those who say I'm too poor to take time to learn. So Hillel was a rather destitute fellow, and he managed. But so it says that's what he would do every day. One day he didn't manage to make enough to pay the entrance fee. So what did he do? So he climbed up onto the roof, and he went over to the, what's it called, a window in the roof? Skylight, thank you. He went to the skylight, and he lied there to listen. And then what happened was it snowed, and he got covered with the snow, and he fell asleep there, and so he laid lying there. In the morning, Shemaya and Avtalion came to the Beis Medrash, and they noticed that it was darker than usual. So the Gemara says, and this is a line that, you know, in all of the excitement of everything else in the story that gets passed over, Shemaya says to Avtalion, should we look up and see if there's a reason that it's dark? And they decided that it was worth it to look up and see if it was dark, and they looked up and they saw the window was covered, and they discovered Hillel there, and you know, the rest is history. But it's a small minor detail that kind of just gets passed by in the broader story. But what's Shemaya asks of Talion, should we look up? Like, just you know, you and I wouldn't even notice that we looked up. We would just, you know, just. But that is, if you're so in control of your actions that everything is a result of a conscious decision, is this the best thing to do? So then it's a decision. I'm curious, so it's not a knee-jerk reaction. Should I look up? That's this idea of Haskell, that my actions are always a result of a conscious process. Seems like something very far removed from us. A more recent, similar style, previous generation. Rav Elia Lapian was one of the Gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. There was a story, I read this in his biography, that there was a certain situation where there was a certain pikuach nefesh shaila, there was a certain question which came up, and they called Rav Elia Lapian to ask him the question, and basically based on the details of the situation, he said he has to be there to really you know, be able to answer the question. So they went to the bus stop, and they're waiting for the bus, and there was he had, you know, two people who were escorting him to go to the hospital, and the two people who were with him, every time there was, you know, a loud engine sound coming from, you know, from the left, so they both turned to look, maybe this is the bus, and they noticed that Rav Elia Lapian, he never looked. And so one of them asked, like, you know, isn't Rebbe also anxious to see if the bus comes? He said, the bus is going to come whether I'm watching or not. My noticing the bus, you know, a half a mile away is not going to make the bus come any faster. The bus will get here when it gets here. So when it pulls up in front of me, I'll see the bus. Like, what do I need to look every time? To be, you know, does it make sense for me to look? What do you mean, does it make sense for you? Like, that's Haskell, being in control of my actions, that what I do is the result of a conscious process and a conscious decision. That's the idea of Haskell. Every action is done only because it's the conscious result of a decision that is that this is the correct action to take at this time. So that's the idea of Haskell. So, to try and put everything together, so we have this progression of Dea, Bina, of Haskell, and really on all of them we discuss them on two levels. So we have on what we described as the basic level, so we have this idea of Dea, Bina, of Haskell. Dea we described as, that's the learning the Torah and knowing the content of the Torah. And then Bina would be to understand it and extrapolate, to be able to really appreciate the knowledge in such a way that you can realize where it applies and where it doesn't apply, and apply what you know to somewhere else and know whether or not this is really applicable over here. And then the last step is to have an understanding which is deep enough, which is full enough, complete enough, that I can carry it out into action and know what I'm supposed to do with this information. How am I supposed to act on it? Dea is the knowing. Bina is the understanding and really grasping the knowledge in such a way that I can apply it and know where this information applies and where it doesn't. And then Haskell is being able to know what to do with that information, how to act upon it, lemaisa, in real, practical, real-world application. On the second level, so the idea of Dea is to learn the Torah and to have the knowledge. That's the basic idea of acquiring the facts of the Torah, acquiring the information of the Torah. And then Bina, as we discussed, the second layer of what Bina means is to internalize something and to have it affect who you are, that it becomes a part of you. That we mentioned the idea that when you come to your personal understanding of Torah, the way that only you can understand it, that's something which becomes a part of you. That's something which you are kone, which you really acquire, and that really becomes an integral part of who you are. And that should make you into a person who every action they do is according to that sensitivity. Once the information that, once the Torah that you've learned has now become a part of you, so no, that should affect the way that you live your life, and not just in my questions of, you know, milchix and fleishix and mutter, but in the way that day to day, moment to moment that I live my life is a practical application of the knowledge that I've internalized, to make every move that I do is now affected and influenced by the Torah, which has become a part of me. And that's the second progression of Dea Bina V'Haskel. Before we get to the end of the bracha, so to go back up, at least in the order in which it is in the Siddur, we have in the fourth bracha the insert for Motzei Shabbos of Ata Chonan Tanu, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So before we get into the actual words and meanings and ideas, first just going to talk about the placement of Ata Chonan Tanu. That what is Ata Chonan Tanu doing here in the fourth bracha? The Gemara actually has a few options of where it could have been. Maybe it should have been its own bracha. So why exactly is Ata Chonan Tanu here? So Ata Chonan Tanu is in Ata Chon, which Ata Chonan Tanu is Havdalah. That's the most basic Havdalah is the Havdalah that we make in Shona Esrei. Really, after that, you know, you can do Malacha after that, even Midrabanan. So what is Havdalah doing here in the fourth bracha? So the Yerushalmi in Brachos says that Havdalah is in Atachonin because im ein da'as Havdalah minayin. If you don't have da'as, if you don't have intelligence, so then how are you going to be able to be mavdil? How are you going to be able to separate things? So exactly what the importance, the significance of Das in terms of specifically Havdalah. So there's a Rabbeinu Yonah, fleshing out this idea. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Al Yedei HaDas Makirin Ma'alas HaManucha, that through Das, through intelligence, through awareness, you can recognize the Maila, the greatness, the loftiness of Menucha. V'yodin l'havdil bein kodesh l'chol, and then you'll know to be mavdil, to distinguish between kodesh and chol. So Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, is saying something very important here, is saying something very significant, which is that if I recognize, Rabbeinu Yonah does not say that if I see the difference between kodesh and I see the, and I compare kodesh and chol, and now I just, you know, I see the difference between the, Rabbeinu Yonah says that if I have the da'as to appreciate menucha, then I'll be able to be mavdil between kodesh and chol. Meaning that if I recognize what this is, if I recognize what Shabbos is, then I can realize that the other thing isn't this, that the other part of the week is not Shabbos. I once heard a great mashal. The mashal is actually given in the context of counter-missionary preparation. Which the mashal was like this, that in when they prepare the units, the police units that do counterfeit currency officers, the officers who are in charge of patrolling and detecting counterfeit currency. So you would think the way they would do it is, you know, they would show them, you know, exactly all the tricks of the counterfeiters, and they would show them, you know, what to look for, different signs of counterfeit. That's not what they do. What they do is they give them fresh, real, newly minted $100 bills. And you don't touch anything except for a real dollar bill. And you hold it, and you touch it, and you play with it, and you crumple it, and you smell it, and you bend it, and you rip it, and you know the real dollar bill so well that you know everything about what this real $100 bill is like. And now, as soon as you see something that isn't the real thing, you know the real thing so well that you'll spot a fake in a moment. The mashal when I heard this was a mashal for counter-missionary work, which was that if I know real Torah so well, so I'll spot the fake in a minute. That it works the same thing. If I recognize menucha, if I understand what Shabbos is, then I'll recognize what's not Shabbos in a moment. If I recognize what Kedusha is, then if I know what Kedusha is, then I'll be able to recognize what's not Kedusha in a moment. This is the Da'as is necessary in order to appreciate what something really is, in order to be sensitive, to be able to appreciate what is not that. And this is really a form of Bina, as we described, that understanding something well enough to know its parameters and to see how far it goes and to see where it doesn't go is really a type of Bina, a type of understanding something so that I know exactly where it applies, where it extends to, and where it doesn't extend. Bina, the word Bina, Bez Yud Nun He, is Roshe Tevos for the four components of Havdalah, which are Besamim Yayin Ner Havdalah, Bez Yud Nun He, because Havdalah is a form of Bina. It's a form of being able to appreciate what Shabbos is and what Shabbos isn't, what Kedusha is and what Kedusha isn't, and being able to recognize when something is not Kodesh, because I have an understanding of what Kodesh is. There's a type of Havdalah, which is when I, you know, hold up, you know, the good and the bad, and I recognize, you know, I put the two together and I contrast the two and I know this is good and this is bad. There's a finer layer, a finer type of Havdalah, which is when I'm discerning between two values and seeing where each one has its place. Because Havdalah can be necessary even between two things which are perfectly good, because things which are good and right and necessary can also have their limitations and also have their place where they apply and where they are correct. Chol is not intrinsically bad. Chol means mundane. It doesn't mean there's a tumah is profane, is impure. But the opposite of kedusha is tumah. We'll discuss that again at some point. But chol is not intrinsically bad. Sheish yisamei hamaisa is not intrinsically negative. They have their place and they have their purpose. But to differentiate and to be able to see the value and purpose of each element, and to equally to see the limitations of its value, to see where it is not a value and to see where it is subordinate to a greater value, that requires das. That requires being able to appreciate what something is and where its place is, where it applies and where it has value, and where it's inappropriate and where it doesn't apply. Mesilas Yesharim is explaining a Gemara. The Gemara says that a person goes through a whole progression of a person who has bad things happening to him, exactly what he should do. And the end of the Gemara says that if he goes through all this and he can't figure anything out, it says Yamash Mesh B'Maisav VeYifash Vesh B'Maisav, that he should feel his actions, and he should scrub them, I guess you'd say, something like that. So the Ramchal explains that what are these two different things, that the first thing is to see which actions are good and which actions are bad. And then he says that within those things which I've decided are good, I still have to examine them and see which ones are not entirely pure. That even within the good, there can be elements which are unnecessary, which are extra, where there even something which is a good action could still have elements to it which are not entirely appropriate, and which they don't, they shouldn't be universal. And that's this same idea of being mavdil, of knowing where something applies and where something doesn't. I once heard Moshe Hauer of Shari Zion in Baltimore discussing on Shamas Agadol. He was talking about the idea of, we find this idea of Havchana in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was mavchin bein tipa shel bechor v'tipa she'ein shel bechor, that we have the Yam Suf, that he was mavchin between the Yisrael and the Amim, and a lot of different points where we see this idea of havchana, of differentiative discerning, and Rabbi Hauer was talking about just the idea of a fundamental point of being able to be mavchin, being able to decide when something is appropriate and when something isn't. And he discussed that the Pesach hotels, and he said that he is not a big fan of Pesach hotels, that he thinks that that you know in general that that the people go to them for the wrong reasons and whatever. He said that he thinks that, you know, but he said that he has people that he's told them you should go to a Pesach hotel. And he said that his problem that he has is people say, well, you told them to go to a Pesach hotel, so obviously going to Pesach hotels is a perfect fine. Just confession, I've gone to plenty of Pesach hotels, so I'm not like trying to, I'm just as an example, but he said that, you know, that, yeah, for this person was right. For this person, whatever was going on in their life, the stresses that they had and what they had to, that for them, it was the right thing to do. But that doesn't mean that what's right for him is what's right for you. I had a friend who in yeshiva who asked our Rebbe about leaving Zman a few weeks early to be a counselor in a summer camp. And our Rebbe told him that it was a good idea. And another friend who asked about being a counselor at the very same summer camp, and he told him he shouldn't. And the reason was, you know, I didn't confirm this with him, but I think, you know, it was somewhat of self-explanatory. But this camp was a learning camp. It was I don't know if anyone knows NCSY Kollel. So NCSY Kollel, it's you know, people who go there, it's. You know, they call it Kollel because it's, you know, so the people who are, you know, and it's a very big component of it. And, you know, the boys who are some of the best boys from the, you know, these yeshiva high schools are going there. One of the guys who asked was a Gaon Olam. He was a genius. He was, you know, saying a chabura was, you know, like something he could, you know, do in his sleep. And like, you know, to really, you know, give like a model to these kids of, you know, like how, you know, someone who was not so much older than them, you know, that's something that really impact them, that really affect them. And he wasn't, you know, like a weirdo who, like, you know, like had a shirt on backwards, because he was like a normal guy who just happened to be a super genius. And, you know, for him, it was the right thing to do. You're going to make a difference. And the other person, there was nothing wrong with him. He was a good guy. But, like, there was nothing special that, yeah, you specifically need to go there and inspire these kids. For you, staying in yeshiva till the end of yeshiva is the right thing to do. You'll get more out of that, and the world will get more out of that. For this person, it's the right thing to do, for him to, you know, to leave 2 weeks early and do something that really only he can do. And for you, it's not the right thing to do. And that's the way the world works, that everybody has their own life, everybody has their own situation, everybody has their own needs, and everybody has their own accomplishments. And the fact that something is right for one person does not mean that it's right for another person. And being mavdil requires das, being able to tell the difference between those two things and to appreciate where something is a value and where it's not a value. That requires das. And havdalah is specifically in chonin hadas. Havdalah is in the bracha of das, because being mavdil, being able to distinguish and to discern that this is where Shabbos should end, that Kedusha has its place and its time in which it is contained. Being able to be mavdil is something which requires das, and therefore atachonin tanu is in atachonin. Okay, we have time. I think we have time just for
the same words that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It is the same words. It's true. And actually, we're going to talk about that right now. So the atachon antanu. So it's the same atachonin atachon antanu is really the same word. The dover shalom. Also, a commentary on Shmoneh Esrei. I don't recall who wrote it, but it's a commentary which you can find in the Otzar Tfilos. He asks, he's that there's seemingly a repetition here, atachonin and atachonin tanu, and he says that these represent really two facets of knowledge. And he explains there's one element. There is the hachanas ha'adam, there's the ability to know, the person's personal capacity for knowledge, and the preparation itself, the preparation of the self, and the effort one puts in to be a receptacle of knowledge. That's one part of knowing. And that's, you know, really comprised of a person's tchunos and nefesh, a person's personal attributes and capabilities, your memory, your insight, your all of these things, right? Chalkenu b'sarasecha, that your personal chelek in Torah is according to, you know, your capabilities. And then there is Giloy HaChachma. Then there's the revelation of knowledge from the Baal HaChachma, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of knowledge, which is Hashem, that knowledge at the end of the day comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we discussed, that in the last line of Atachonin, we say, Chaneinu Me'itcha De'a Bina V'Haskel, because at the end of the day, knowledge comes from Hashem. So the second element of knowledge, of knowing, is the actual receiving of the knowledge. And says the Dover Shalom that our two Atachonins here are corresponding to that. That Atachonin La'adam Das, that Hashem gives Das to a person. He gives the knowledge itself, the revelation of the wisdom itself. And then there's Atachonan Tanu Limada Torasecha, that Hashem gives to know, Limada, Hashem gives to know the Torah, that Hashem gives us the ability to become receptacles in which Torah can be received, in which Torah can come in. The Iyun Tefillah explains that Hashem is machshir us through our seichel and through our bina to be able to learn, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the tools that we need and able to be able to learn, that's also something that comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've mentioned several times before this idea that even the ability to understand the Torah is a gift from Hashem, that Torah is something which is seichel eloki. It's divine wisdom. It's not like, you know, if you study math, if you learn the facts, so now you know math. If you study science, so you know science. If you study music, so now you'll know music. If you study history, so now you know history. But if you study Torah, it's the nature of the wisdom is such that it's not naturally a human knowledge. It is divine wisdom. It is wisdom of and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and knowing it is not something that is a natural capability of a person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us the ability to understand the Torah, and that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Atachon Antanu, is the ability to know the Torah, the ability to acquire wisdom, that's also something which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll pause here for this week. I don't want to go too far over time. And...